Welcome to Your Louse, Roger Smith, a podcast where we pick on an anime man for his choices in life. My name is Moxie. You can find me at Robot Moxie at Twitter.
I am Lokit. I'm Moxie's wife, and you can find me at Moth Wizard on Tumblr.
I'm Pastry. You can find me on Twitter at Dad Dragon with three D's in the middle.
I'm Evie Sinclair. I'm on Twitter at EvieSinclair.twitter.com.
I'm Vari. I'm on Twitter at Valen.
And I'm Wheeler, and I'm Wheeler.
Excellent.
It's Wheeler.
We got everyone in there. So, two episodes of Big O tonight. One featured a fun ghost, and one featured a fun piano. Let's start with some opening thoughts. Someone just go around table, say what you need to say to get us going.
Go spooky.
I liked the, was trying to be sort of a film noir story with the ghost, wasn't it?
It's a film noir anime.
I know, but it was really into it for the ghost. It was trying to be like, well, it was a cop, but he ran into crooked cops, and now he's getting his cop revenge.
He had legs that go all the way up.
All the way up to the top of his head.
A little higher than that.
All the way up to the top of the big round body.
He's a fucking Fresno Pants monster.
This episode 5, was called Bring Back My Ghost. This is the episode where they kind of confirmed for us that this is taking place in future New York. Because it involves a guy getting shot and falling into the Hudson River. It's the Hudson. We in there.
Wait, is it the New York Bridge then? Is that what that one is? The real big one? I'm not from New York.
It's not the Golden Gate Bridge. That one's 3,000 miles away, but it's another famous bridge.
Is it the Brooklyn Bridge?
Probably.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, New York Bridge?
Have any of us ever been to New York?
I have literally not been off.
I've been to New York several times. I do not know the names of the bridge.
I like New York, the meme lady.
There's a bridge called Throg's Neck, apparently.
Let's just say it's that one. How's that?
Yeah, and so a guy got shot at Frog's Neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
That's the bridge.
That's it.
Good work, team.
So, where do we want to start? Because I love a lot about this episode. I'm kind of lost in the sauce about it. Someone else should break it down for us.
How about the sleazy lawyer that commissions Roger that somehow snuck his way into Roger's house?
Squilliam, yeah.
Yeah, because you can't go in if you're not a girl.
Obviously, they just kind of went in while nobody was looking.
Roger Smith has no security.
Maybe he bribed Norman?
He's not infallible. He's got an eye patch. That's not a reason.
Maybe you can bribe him with a new eye.
Maybe he just snuck in on the side that has the eye.
Someone said he came down the chimney.
What?
Yeah. Santa Claus.
Oh yeah, someone did.
Except instead of bringing presents, he brought a really awkward atmosphere and just tried to argue straight off the bat.
I do love that, we're kind of faked out right at the beginning of the episode because we think we're hearing Roger's inner monologue as he's saying out loud that he hates this lawyer's guts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I swear to God, I thought that was, just his thoughts, but no, he said that to his face.
And then, afterwards, we find out the reason he's there is for his mom, who Roger then visits.
Oh, yeah, because Roger loves gilfs. That's what we discovered this episode.
Yes, he said he really likes helping old ladies, old people, and women. Yeah. And, old ladies, or gilfs... You know them as are his favorite going by his mark.
Cast in the name of God, ye not guilty.
Thanks.
Yay, jokes are here. So he goes to this very round old woman's estate, and usually when you have a round old woman in anime, she's like some nightmare creature from One Piece, but this was like a perfectly shaped friend of an old lady.
All of them were. They were like... perfect.
Entire family is circles.
Yeah, all the curves that that aren't in Roger are in that family.
It's very good, consistent familial design.
Yeah, the whole family is just... It's like looking at one of those Russian dolls.
Yeah.
Very easily identifiable, being as they're all the same exact shape.
Yeah. Especially our fun cop, who we're going to spend a lot of time with this episode. I almost want to work backwards from his story because it's so structured that, like, we can explain this whole thing. But let's start with the mystery. It gets foggy over by the bridge, and a big bag with eyes shows up, and then a cop also shows up. And that's our friend.
Yeah, so cops keep getting in car accidents over by this bridge, and there's a big old fucking robot ghost there. That keeps making the car accidents happen somehow.
Well, hold on. We don't know he's a robot yet.
Well, it has, like, a robot face.
It's got a weird mouth made of LEDs.
Yeah, like, there's light. We gotta assume.
Robots are real in this universe, so, like, if it's not a human, it's a robot.
There's only two modes. There are only two genders. Yeah.
No, there's at least three.
Oh, the weird sea monster?
We're forgetting the two most important genders, skate or die.
I was gonna say Jill.
So, we learn about the mystery of cops being killed, while simultaneously Roger Smith gets commissioned by this sleazy lawyer's blind, very kind mom, who now has daredevil powers.
Oh yeah, the miracle of disability, you all... There's always some gross trade-off.
Well, because she says, well, now that I've lost my sight, I can sense things way better than when I had sight. So, you know, she's daredevil now. We find out that Roger's there to go get her son, who died during Paradigm trying to buy out property from these people, and there's a big protest, and he gets shot and tossed over Frog Neck Bridge.
Now, who shot him?
It's implied in the playback that it's a protester that did, but I feel as though the truth probably wasn't that, huh?
It was implied that it was a protester, but later on we discover that it was one of the other military police that found out that he discovered some dirt that he shouldn't have found. And so they used the protest as an excuse to get rid of
him. Just goes to show, doesn't matter if it's in the future or the past, all cops are bastards.
Except for the one that got shot.
Well, I mean, especially these ones, because they're not just the cops, they're also the military.
Yeah,
I can't trust military police. I grew up on a military base, and that's what we had, and they weren't very nice to deal with.
Hold up. These cops work for the military, and the military works for the government, and the government got bought by the Paradigm firm. So really, this is just like a bank's private army.
Yeah.
That sucks.
That sounds like capitalism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, the whole city... Isn't the city called Paradigm City? This is not such a surprise.
You know, I'm surprised that we've never touched on the fact that the name of all of it is Paradigm. Which I find an interesting phrase to use to name, honestly, anything.
It's just, like, way of thinking.
Paradigm is... What is a paradigm?
It's a model. It's a perfect example.
Yeah, there are a lot of synonyms for paradigm, including a fun word that we came up with encountered last episode, which is archetype.
Oh, yeah. So... It's an archetype city?
Archetypical city.
So I guess maybe it was a city meant to be replicated?
It is really clearly artificial because we get a good shot of the dome projecting a fake sun.
Yep. But only the really, really rich people can live out there in the farmland.
Oh. Yeah, we didn't mention that the old lady was also a billionaire, I think.
Yeah, she's like super duper rich.
Does money mean anything in this setting, or did they forget how it worked 40 years ago and they just have
it? It does, but there's enough rich people and we only deal with them.
So, like, I find it interesting you have to be really rich to live in a rural area in this place, which I don't think I've seen that.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense for the setting, but it is super unique to think, like, if you want private space for yourself and not to live on the 116th floor in the city, then by all means, shell out until you die. Mm-hmm. If Paradigm City is, if we're supposed to take that to mean a model or a standard design for a city, were the other domes supposed to be filled with, like, duplicates of that? I'm hooked up on the dome project now.
You know, that's a good point. Do we know if the domes existed before or after?
Oh.
Because if they existed after, then it would make sense that they would want to make multiple domes like that to keep people alive. So, and therefore it would be an archetype to build off of and replicate.
I wonder, do you think their project got stalled and there's like 8 domes or something? Because it doesn't seem like the whole world's domed up.
No, it's only like a few.
About people being fucked outside of them.
Yeah, so we saw in one of the previous episodes, actually, there's at least one other city that exists that isn't really all domed up.
Oh.
Electric City.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. Good old Electric City.
Out in the boonies.
I wonder how they're doing now that the Thunder God is dead and they can, like, use the microwave.
You got a backlog of Hot Pockets.
So another thing I think is interesting is, so after he takes a case, the case is to find her dead son, who also happens to be the cop that died on the bridge.
Right.
And, well, you know, he goes to our favorite pal, Big Ear, for some information.
Do love me some Big Ear.
Basically warns him over and over again, and Roger is just being his lousiest self and not taking anyone's shit or advice.
Roger is made of steel, he thinks. He's fine. If Dorothy can take a bullet, then so can he.
Does Roger wear anything under his David Byrne big suit, or is it just like...
He doesn't need anything. His abs are super fucking hard.
He has a gut. I'm going on record. Roger Smith does not have abs.
His abs are like steel.
He's got like a...
They can propel bullets.
He's got like a fuzzy little paunch.
If he puts a bullet on his abs and lays down, he can flex and it'll shoot off.
I don't like that. I'm reminded of SpongeBob movie David Hasselhoff.
Wait, I mean, I'd assume he just shoves gold bars in his suit. That's why he's so, you know, rigid.
Ah!
Yeah, that man's got a bunch of gold bars stapled onto him.
Yeah. Everybody in the show is unbelievably wealthy. Just kind of because?
Well, so outside of the domes are all the poor people. Inside the domes are all the rich people.
Yeah.
And that was kind of an issue for Paradigm during the protests, is that these people... Paradigm wanted to expand, basically.
Oh, okay.
And those people are like, no, get the hell off our property.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Instant gentrification.
That's crazy. He looks quite a bit like Pac-Man.
Yeah. He's wet and red.
He has almost the same haircut as Roger.
Yeah, he's a soft Roger.
Yeah. He's just soft Roger.
Yeah.
Roger.
He's an ambient Roger. he really is sweet. He got shot real bad, and this is the big twist. When he got shot off the bridge, he got rescued by a dope aquatic robot.
Yeah.
Like...
And the thing I think is interesting is that we just have a connection with the robot in order for the robot to react. So it seems like the only reason the robot reacted is because he was within range by the time he was sinking in the water.
I think these robots might be empathetic and it cared that a man was dying.
Yeah.
He was saying, like, he was thinking, is this going to be it? Is this how it's supposed to end or whatever? And, like, the robot was like, that sucks for you. And, like, him.
Get all up in my cockpit and we'll haunt together.
So the thing is that later on he says he has memories of the robot, but then he's like not sure if they're his own or if they were implanted.
That's a really suspect line. It's the first time anyone's mentioned like straight up implanted memories, like we're on Ancient Aliens or something. That feels almost like a plot point that's gonna come back.
Yeah.
So they have a big robot fight, sort of.
If by robot fight you mean Roger makes his robot fall.
Yeah, Roger. They're just big furniture.
Big O gets its ass beat. It's just standing there in the water, like, getting blown up from all sides, and then it catches on fire and falls over, and then just blasts the other robot with one laser, and that's the fight.
Yeah, what was with that laser blast? It looked like it was messing with a projector? Or was I not? I was having fun.
Huh?
So, the robot seems to be projecting on the fog, and they also say that the robot makes the fog, so it's a giant fog machine.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. The robot's not as big as it was seeming to be.
There's a big fucking stamp on the back of it that says Party City.
Yeah. My fucking sick vape rig came to life.
It's the Mega Jewel.
You drive like cotton candy.
The fuck off. Yeah.
Just a big root beer scented fog bank rolling over the bridge.
That's how you know a cop is gonna die.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
This is non-podcast material, what's about to come out of my mouth, but we've said cop and die so much that I'm envisioning, like, Metal Gear Solid, but it's the cop die virus.
Yeah.
So, Bonnie and Roger have a big sit and a little bench, and I love it.
A big sit.
Dan Dostin immediately, like, has to hold a dude back from arresting Bonnie for some reason.
Yeah, Dostin flexed his big head and was like, hey, we're gonna let them have this moment.
Yeah.
He's gotta fill the quota!
Yeah, he wants the arrest. He needs it. I want to arrest... this is my first thing. You let me shoot the gun. I have to arrest somebody now.
So Bonnie, of course, turn himself in, but only after we have some sad moments. Who wants to lead us through that? Because it can't be me. I'll cry again.
So, you find out Bonnie's still alive because Big Robot saved him. He wanted to get revenge on the crooked cops, which good for him. But, unfortunately, that goes awry when Roger destroys his Party City projector. And then he takes Bonnie back to his mother's house, who is very elderly and is blind with daredevil powers. And they have a really, really heartfelt moment of him coming back, which I think they pointed out earlier that, like, she forgot or suppressed the memory of Bonnie dying. And that's why in her older age, not that much older, it's only a year. I guess she still thinks her son's alive, or maybe she had faith, I don't know.
Yeah.
That seems like kind of just, you know, denial, you know. He's not dead, he swam to the side of the river, and he's hiding from the protesters / cops, like...
Well, see, so I wasn't sure if they were doing that, or if they were playing up, like, maybe she's starting to get Alzheimer's, or something more memory-related, because they say she lost a lot of her memory.
Yeah. I mean, that was going to happen one way or another, but I mean, in Paradigm's particular case, like, she didn't have a lot to start with, I feel like.
True. So he goes in, and she had dinner set out for two, and he wraps his arms around her as she's sitting at a table, like, from behind, and she's like, I knew you'd come back, and he tells her how much he loves her, and then she passes as a candle dramatically. Gets blown out by the wind.
She says this wonderful thing as she's going, and it's still buzzing around in my head because her last words are spent saying, you were always really, like, soft and gentle, and just please God don't let people take advantage of you because you deserve to be like this.
Which, upsettingly, though, like, is exactly what happened in the first place.
Yeah.
Is that he got taken advantage of.
Yeah, but I think he probably learned from it now. Be a little...
Oh yeah, no, he did. He learned all cops are bastards.
Yeah. Wait, but he's...
I mean, no, he joined up because he had faith in the system and all that, and then quickly learned, yeah, all cops are bastards.
Do you get that haircut when you learn that? Because it happened to Roger.
the ACAB haircut.
That's fine.
This podcast is gonna get taken down.
Yeah.
Listen, just cut out all the words.
Any closing thoughts on episode 5 from everybody? Anybody who's been quiet, maybe now's your chance to sort of lean in.
I saw the other robot for, I think, a combined 1 second of screen time. Which, like...
We didn't even get a good shot of it,
yeah,
either.
Like, the hand.
It looked cool when it was dying.
I like how it shot poltergeist lasers out of its ghost eyes.
I like spooky flames.
Wheeler, you got something?
Just that he was gone for an entire year, apparently.
Yeah, that's a wild... What did he do?
He was learning how to use the robot.
Did he eat?
Yeah.
In private. In the lake.
Does the robot have a vending machine?
Where?
I think if he's got a giant robot, he might be able to figure
yeah,
out
there's
how
a lot
to
of, there's
and nobody noticed him stomping up Main Street to get a Snickers. Like,
no. Again.
Oh, weird. Roger painted it.
They just thought it was Big O. Shit just
wow,
happens.
Is Big O vaping?
There's apparently a lot of room just under the city to get Big O around, because Big O will just appear literally anywhere. So, like, he's just...
Under the city is a fun honeycomb that you can just slide Big O through, and he'll pop out anywhere you want, including the ocean.
Big O's appearance in the next episode just kind of, like, stunned me a little bit, because, like...
It came out of the hills.
What justification would there be for that, for it to be able to get there from underground?
Here's what I think about that. The train tracks only go so far, and then Big O just starts punching.
Yeah, I guess so. Big O's arms are basically pile drivers.
Are you trying to tell me you think Big O just digs?
Yeah, digs and then, like, jumps really hard and, like, grinds out of the earth.
I didn't think his knees could bend.
Oh, they don't.
We haven't seen him yet.
Have you ever seen the bottom of Big O's feet? It's more pistons.
Yeah. Big O's legs fucking telescope into themselves, into its body, and then it, like, a spring just goes off.
Oh, like that fun old Power Rangers toy, yes.
Yeah. Big O compacted for storage.
So... That was Bring Back My Ghost, and we also watched episode 6, which is called A Legacy of Amadeus, and this originally aired November 17th, 1999. Roger's tired of Dorothy banging out the tunes, so it's time to get her piano lessons.
What, buy some earplugs.
What do we think about that, gang?
I like the fact that as she stated in the previous episode, she uses the way she plays so aggressively as an actual alarm clock.
Yeah.
And Roger says, like, he's fed up with it or whatever, and she's like, no one enjoys an alarm clock.
Yeah, Roger, you're not supposed to like it.
If he didn't have a piano, she'd have, like, pots and pans, being like, I ain't getting no sleep because of y'all.
Does Dorothy ever sleep?
I don't think she sleeps to start with, Moxie.
She might sleep.
She's a robin.
Does she just, like, do that thing where she just stands in the corner or whatever for a while?
No, she spends the whole time reapplying eyeliner.
That what, her whole head?
She's like Bender. She just... Yeah.
She doesn't have that much stuff going on with her eyes. She has the bag.
She has to get it perfect. She keeps taking it off.
What if those aren't bags and they're, like, football smudges?
I always assume... I always assumed her makeup was just painted on, like, permanently.
But, you know, she just wants to put a little more on.
Imagine what's going on in the scientist's head when he's like, I need my robot daughter to look tired forever.
Well, I mean, he never figured out how to, like, program sleep. So he's just like, we'll make it realistic. People will understand. All robots' names start with R.
Roger gets tired of the alarm clock Dorothy and drags her to a nice little secret bar.
Is it secret?
It seems secret. It was down a few stairwells.
Ah.
And there we see someone else banging out the tunes very gently.
It was Neil, the rat.
It was not Neil, the rat.
It was R. Neil. R. Instro?
I was about to ask.
Wait, does the R stand for robot?
Because this guy's name is R Instro, and it's R Dorothy Wainwright. I think it's Robot Dorothy Wainwright.
Robot Dorothy Wainwright.
No, it stands for Reddit.
Reddit Dorothy Wainwright?
Yeah.
The thing that gets me, though, is that they're technically androids, and not really robots. But,
That almost makes it funnier. Like, it's almost insulting. Like,
everybody forgot everything. They don't really know what's going on.
True. So, we meet this very friendly robot named R. Instro.
He looks dope.
Who is not playing correctly, according to the music sheets, as Dorothy was going to point out, and Roger just intercepts.
Yeah, he has soul. That's really all there is to it.
Plays with soul. The soul of his creator's child. Is that a thing? Is that like how they get the memories in there of the kid?
I have no idea.
They have a soul extraction machine.
There's a lot of questions that Big O raises and then throws directly in the trash.
I don't know if it throws him in the trash, but I forget if it delivers on anything. There's a desire to show us cool things. I can definitely feel their enthusiasm.
It's a show that really wants to, like, slide world building at you across the table, but doesn't want to acknowledge what it just did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, here's a new thing. Here's how it works. I don't know what it is.
Here's $50. Keep watching.
Oh, man, I'd watch more.
So yeah, we meet Instro, whose dad was Amadeus, and I think what was on my mind is there's a lot in this show about, like, bloodlines, almost, like, family lineage, and, like, whatever legacy you're supposed to carry on, like, and I mean, I know that's right in the title of this episode, but we've seen it in the past five, like, it's been there the whole time.
And it's strange if you think about it, because a lot of it is carrying on a lineage which is mostly forgotten anyway. But they want to carry on what little remnants of the past that they've gathered.
Is it performative? As in, like, do they feel like if they don't carry on these lineages, then they really have forgotten what happened 40 years ago?
That sounds like a reasonable analysis. Like,
yeah, I feel like perhaps because they don't have the past, they really want to cultivate a new one.
Yeah, or at least
they're trying to rebuild what they think they had.
Yeah,
and
they have new memories.
We see that in like I want to go back to episode 2 to kind of draw a parallel. They were talking about not knowing how the music actually sounded and just sort of like learning how to read music and doing their best and. That whole setting, this everything in Paradigm is kind of like that.
So Instro starts teaching Dorothy how to play. And Instro's like, why the hell do you want me to teach this girl? She's great.
And Roger's like, she's great, but she sucked.
Yeah. Well, no, he's like, I want you to show her how you approach the piano, whatever that's supposed to imply. And then Instro makes a sly remark back, saying, you with your demands,
oh, yeah,
or something
like
that.
You with your impossible demand.
Show her how to make love to
tickle the ivories. So, as they're learning for the first time, what's that dude's name shows up? He looks like the steampunk joke from Key and Peele.
Ginseng.
He's got a monocle and like two top hats that have been like wedged together.
It's a bad scene.
Yeah,
G-string.
The top of his
G-string.
He looks like a vampire.
The top of his hat has a brim, so he can turn it over when it gets smell. It's a chimney.
Not good is what it is.
It's fashion.
So I wanna explore the fact that he clearly looks like
he looks
not
profoundly
a human.
Villainous and is pointy and a good one.
Yeah.
He looks like a vampire. His skin is like purple blue?
I think he's purple. Wearing, like, gloves, like cartoon Mickey Mouse gloves. And then he's got claws in them.
He's like an old-timey villain that ties you up to the tracks, but also Nosferatu.
Yeah.
Wait, he has fucking octopus hair, like...
Well, Roger Smith was Bruce Wayne, then this guy was the Penguin.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, it really does have that character design parallel.
Interestingly enough, his weapon is almost like an umbrella. The way it, like, unfolds and has segments.
Yeah.
What is his weapon, actually?
It's a staff that shoots sound.
Yeah.
It's a sound stick.
It looks like a giant stethoscope on a staff.
It's a very loud stick. That's what it is.
It's a pizza cutter? It's an extendable pizza cutter?
Yeah,
it's a cutter.
Yeah.
A very loud pizza cutter.
Yeah. He wiggles it really fast, and you know how they're not built right, so they all kind of wobble? It just wobbles really fast. Shoot sound.
Oh, no.
I'm just imagining him being like, let me take care of this pizza, and there's like a gunshot and it fires the whole thing across the room.
It just cut it into an infinite number of pieces.
Like, can we talk about the fact that the house the robot is from is like missing a corner of it, and it's like cleanly cut off and is supposedly done by Mr. Vampire? Like, if you notice, every time he uses it, it, like, cleanly just cuts everything. It's like a giant cylinder.
Oh, that's nuts.
That
okay.
just blows through everything.
A big old pepperoni.
Yeah. It's shooting pizzas. It's a pizza cutter. Right?
Oh, so it's like that funnel, like, Ninja Turtles toy with the pizza firing box? Like,
yeah, sure. It's cutting pizza. I think sound is supposed to not be like, you know, mechanical cutting thing, so it's all clean and stuff. But yeah, it just makes perfect holes in things. With no degree.
That's like his stomach plug on the ground over there.
Stomach plug?
Oh, Kung Pao.
I'm just thinking of perfect holes being punched into things.
What's that thing from the Adventure Zone again?
The hole that, like, you can throw at stuff, or...
Oh, the portable hole.
Yeah. Yeah, that.
Yeah, I can't remember the fun fan name for it, but it's kind of a portable
hole. Hole thrower?
I thought it was called a hole slinger or something.
Something like that.
Yeah, it says hole thrower. It's a slingshot.
Oh, yeah, it was the hole thrower.
Yeah.
Alright, so we see this fucking Batman penguin dude looking guy wander in and go, hey, you ever think about filling your father's destiny or whatever it is?
Just the most loaded sentence on
the
earth.
The most loaded sentence, and then he sees that he's got guests, and he's like, I'm kind of busy here not doing that.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I'll be back.
Yeah.
Why does Instro spend so much time with a man who has such a threatening aura? Like, Instro clearly has, like, good judgment most of the time.
I don't think he could pick up on social cues.
Probably because it was his father's, like, quote-unquote friend.
Yeah.
And it's the last remnant of his father he has.
This guy's just like Dr. Wily, though.
He's his weird uncle.
Instro only knows how to play the piano. That's approximately the sum total of his knowledge.
Yeah.
I guess maybe hand. He might know something about hand. Or maybe somebody else does.
I wonder if playing the piano is the medium through which he does everything else in his life. Like, he goes to tie his shoes and his fingers are all over the place.
Yeah, probably.
You know, you assume that this robot wears shoes.
Well, he wears a tuxedo.
What if they're just built on?
He wears slip-ons. Because it would take him too long to tie them every morning.
He has Velcro shoes.
he looks
really good.
He's like dressed in like a $1,000 suit, and then he's wearing Crocs.
Yes.
Oh no!
Robot Crocs. I'm into it.
Oh, every robot wears
They're
Crocs.
Called rocks.
No.
She's called Crocs for a reason.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Alright, so after our fun suspect meeting with Dr. Jensing, we go to the cops. Because that's what you do after you see that man.
Yeah, that's good. And I think we get to see Roger getting into a little trouble because he just kind of like lets himself into the filing cabinet.
Yeah,
well, he's distracting Dawson to get more info, and then Dawson like peeks up while he's remembering the bar and the good times while Roger's trying to rifle through his shit, and he's like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Like, hey, dude.
The cute thing about this interaction is he gets up and he just gives him the file anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because he mentions the name and he's like, how do you know that name? And he's like, well, this robot that played at that bar that we used to go to, he's got this creepy uncle that just so happens to be that dude's name.
I think Dawson and Roger used to date.
Yeah.
Okay, he finds evidence about the fun photosonic boomstick through this whole Dawson shenanigans. And it turns out Jensing killed Amadeus. And then we go in for Dorothy's next piano lesson and things are strange.
Yeah, the bar's closed.
Yeah, it's closed.
It's middle of the day.
Like, the bar was closed last time when they were doing Dorothy's thing, but, like, so they say that's weird, and Roger pulls out his cool lockpick, and then Dorothy just walks through the door, because she can.
Busting through.
Yeah, busting through.
Busting through.
Man, Roger never gets to play with any of his toys with Dorothy around.
It's like if Batman and Robin held the utility belt. The utility belt was just ways to punch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they go walking in, and the bar's all dark, right? So Dorothy turns on her LED headband, which is another cool thing she has. And they find, like, a big hole in the wall underneath Instro's piano, and then also a hole in the piano. And Roger makes special note that, like, there's no debris. So, like, some stuff has gotten blown up, like, blown and compacted into the wall. So they're like, oh, shoot. What's his name? Jensing? Jensing was here. So they're like,
it's like
G-string. G-string.
Oh, yeah.
God-string. I don't know. GS ball.
I was trying to find Dorothy busting through on Google because I'm like, this might be a fun new picture for the podcast. Instead, I got Ancestry.com results for Dorothy busting.
I got images of Dorothy bust.
Oh.
Like the head thing. This one looks like it's made out of
meat. I don't think the GIF is called Dorothy busting through.
Here's the great thing.
Why not?
The Dorothy Bustin I found did live in Queens, New York, so maybe it's the same person.
Well, Dorothy Bustin Wainwright.
Job.
Dorothy Real.
Yeah.
So, bar's locked, shit's locked, Dorothy busts through, and they find a big hole. It's in the piano, and also the wall. It's a big, fun crater, and Instro isn't in it, so where's Instro?
So they go to the boonies again.
I love the boonies.
They go to Instro's
yes,
house.
Yes, they go back to the old lab where Instro was borned, I believe, is what the vision here is.
Yeah, right next to that tank where Mewtwo came out.
And they're like, And they're like, okay, let's go. Yell at him for not being on time for your lesson.
And also ask why there was a hole.
And then he's a giant robot.
Was this the episode where Roger goes apeshit in traffic?
Yeah.
Yeah. He drives onto this on ramp at like 90 miles an hour and his car starts bouncing around. Like this is normal everyday traffic. This isn't an emergency yet.
That's just how he drives.
Yeah.
He's just haunting people and bullying people off the road.
Yeah.
He negotiates his way on the road.
Okay, so I wasn't looking at the screen for the, like, 2 seconds this happened. But isn't right after they get off the bridge, right before they get to the house, Roger just shoots the guns that are in his car?
He's shooting the blockade that's in front because that house is, like, off limits. His car has twisted metal machine guns that just pop out of the headlight.
Couldn't his car just go through the blockade? It's a 500-pound car.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think Gordon? Do you think Roger's car is so heavy because it's full of gold bars, just in case?
That's why it's so low to the ground.
Yeah. Well, it can apparently lift itself up and armor itself. So, like, there's probably at least one gold bar in it. Yeah.
It's a gold axle, so if it takes a turn, the whole car bends in half. So they do go to Instro's house, and they almost immediately encounter the coolest fucking robot design we've seen in several episodes.
Got a Saturn head.
Yeah, the Saturn head's the dopest.
I think it's interesting that the robot almost, like, the way it moves and everything, it reminds me of a conductor. And, like, each arm is like a conductor baton. Mm-hmm. And then when they're in sync, it produces the sound wave that destroys things.
The brown note.
Mm-hmm. No, Moxie. Moxie, no. Moxie, I'm going to need you to not. Please, thank you. All right, let's carry on.
The only funny joke that show ever made. What are you doing with this? You're threatening the whole podcast.
All right, so cool eight-armed robot with, like, I think Moxie pointed out it had, like, organ pipe style arms.
That was you. Or
that was you.
It was Pastry?
It was somebody. Somebody said it. That's all that I care about.
That wasn't me.
Oh, I said that the arms reminded me of, like, conductor's batons.
Yeah, Moxie, but while we were watching, Moxie had said they looked like organs.
I don't.
Oh, no, that was me.
Oh.
Well, yeah. Somebody said it, and that's all that matters. Is it? It got said, and I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I knew I didn't say that. Cool thing about this robot is that it's named Costanza, like the funny baseball meme.
It's Constance, you weirdo.
It's spelled like Costanza,
but it's pronounced Constance. Anyways, Constance starts going to fuck shit up.
With big fun spins.
Yes.
So my question is, do they spin or do they just vibrate?
It seems that they spin because we see it slow down and lock up at some point.
Okay.
I think the segments of Constance's body are like they can detach and like rotate to like point the whole thing at something.
Yeah, when it's powering down, we see those shift back into place.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what it's doing is it's wiggling them really fast, and they're all wiggling towards something, so it's making, like, this big weird shockwave.
And we get the coolest visual of that shockwave. Y'all remember when Gordon... why am I calling him Gordon? Am I thinking about Half-Life? when Roger fires the big purple laser from Big O, it, like, smashes against the sonic barrier and zigzags all over the place, and...
Right.
Like, it would be fine if it was just, like, a power geyser and it, like, splashed and resisted, but it did weird math angles, and I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it got spun away.
Yeah.
What I did like is, before the two robots fought, there's a moment where Roger's like, hey, buddy, what are you doing? And he just leans down in his giant robot and opens up, and it's like a big eye opening up. And inside, you see it looks like it's laid out like a, like just like a circular piano around him.
Yeah, it's like a giant organ.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, my dad said I have to break everything.
And I feel so bad for him.
So apparently, the whole thing is that he's supposed to get revenge on Paradigm on his father's behalf because Paradigm abandoned his father?
Yeah, that's what, I think that's what Jinsing said to Instro.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So, like, the whole point is that, like, oh, Paradigm messed up my dad's research, so I'm gonna go tear him a new one. But then, like, Roger's like, no, it was Instro, it's Jinsing. Jinsing killed your dad, and that's when they stopped, and they were all arguing and stuff, and then Instro was like, I don't care. If Jinsing said it, I'll do it too.
Well, he said he'll fulfill both his father's and his request. Once again, implying that he has a strong attachment to this dude simply because of his relation to his dad. Instro, at that point, as far as I'm aware, doesn't know he killed his dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fact that seems to sink in.
Yeah, Roger just kind of throws it out, and Instro's like, cool.
Well, I think it's more of him denying it more than anything.
Yeah, that kind of makes
sense. Because the last thing he wants to give up is what little he has left of his father.
Yeah. Poor Instro.
His second gay dad.
No, we're not giving him...
No.
We I don't think Mr. Dr. Jensing deserves quite that level of praise. He does not get on the level of gay dad.
He doesn't get to be... I didn't say he was a good dad.
He doesn't get to be gay.
Moxie won't allow it so long as he's wearing that top hat.
Yeah, no, that's...
Yeah, no gay man would wear that. That's
a very heterosexual hat.
Yeah. I would wear it for, like, a second as a joke, but I think my body would, like, vibrate out from underneath it for if I was on it for any longer.
If you look into the top of the hat, it's like a kaleidoscope, and you twist it, it says, I love pussy.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. I love this podcast so much.
So we get a pretty neat fight between Viggo and Constance, where Viggo's like, oh yeah, I should be fighting, despite the fact that the rivets are popping off the arms.
Yeah!
And he fires a laser, and the laser bounces off in, like, the coolest way. Well, not even bounces, it just gets, like, scattered.
Yeah, it gets deflected like an AT field from EVA. Mm-hmm.
That is a very apt parallel, yeah.
It does just, like split around it and start bouncing off the air.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool look.
How about that sound it made? Like, it was... I don't know how to describe it, because I don't know enough about, like, sound engineering, but it's one of those unique anime noises that makes me wonder what they had to do to get it on tape.
Oh, the Foley work.
Yeah, the Foley behind that.
If I recall, I don't know how many sounds they take from it, but a lot of the sounds that they use are from, like, really old Super Robot shows and Gundam.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. There's only one file of robot noises when we all use them at the same time.
There's only one big robot and you all have
to... You all have to pilot it at once.
Uh-oh, we made Voltron.
Oh, again!
Big O fights itself.
You all have to share the big robot.
Zordon said I get to be the dinosaur this time.
So, after the fight, in which Big O wins by opening its chest and firing a plethora of missiles,
yeah,
but only at the individual arms.
Yeah, so he only gets that opening to attack, though, because Dorothy starts playing that song.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She plays a song that he was teaching her.
Dorothy wheels a baby grand piano out to the countryside.
I feel like she was just carrying it over her head, booking it.
Yeah, using her two-frame run technique.
Yeah.
I think the piano was already there, because I think they went to that room and saw it, didn't they?
You know, given the context of who this is and whose lab this is, there probably was a fair number of pianos in the building.
Just a stack.
But I appreciate the thought that Dorothy went out of her way to bring one for this.
It's the one from Roger's
house.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in the trunk, and she pulled it out. American car trunks are just stupid. You could fit a piano in a car that big, I bet.
It's really fun to imagine Dorothy just fucking booking it down the highway with a piano slung over her shoulder.
She can.
It's on wheels, and she's driving.
Oh, great. It's like that one song by that one lady.
Oh, no, I know. She's sketching with the piano. She's riding on top and holding on to the back of the car. Like,
yeah! Either way, she gets the piano there, and she plays the music.
And it makes him stop just long enough for Roger to have his big Megas XLR moment and launch all the missiles.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like I mentioned, tactically only hit the arms.
Viggo's really smart.
Which, honestly, the way he fired them, you'd think he just hit the whole thing.
I always question the use of missiles in giant robots, because you have to replace that.
No, you don't.
And where are you going to get more missiles? You don't work for the military police anymore.
eBay!
They're all underground in a bunker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Underground is where Big O lives. It just crawls around and it finds them laying on the ground and it like pulls open a little door and puts it in and then closes the door.
Okay.
It's just playing a game of Fallout 3 down there, really.
It's like a big metal detector and it's just beachcombing for missiles.
Yeah.
So, long story short, Big O does beat Constans.
Constantinople.
Yeah, all Constans' arms get just eviscerated, essentially.
In Strobel, was Constantinople? Is that a thing? I think my wife's mad at me for that one.
If I was mad at you, I would be far away.
So the arms get all blood and all the shit, but the body's fine, and then we have ourselves a cry moment when we get inside that cool Saturn head again. Who wants to take us there?
Well, the way it opens, by the way, it kind of looked like an eye, too, which I thought was interesting. And it opens up, and we see Instro, and he's, like, mounted to it.
He's been integrated into it, it seems.
He's also nude?
Yeah, it's clearly a robot built to have a robot inside of it.
Did they have to replace his legs, too?
No.
I don't know why they took off his suit, but
it gets in the way.
So, probably for integral purposes. Too many moving parts. I wonder if that suit up is expensive. Yeah. So, he's sitting in the cockpit, and he's like, you know, I was made for this, and I really don't deserve to play piano anyway. So he leans back, but he doesn't hit disengage.
And his hands just...
slough off.
It's not clean. There are wires and crunching, and it's very distressing.
And looking at it, there's a lot of wires. These were, like, really carefully crafted hands. Like, they were definitely intended to play piano.
Yeah. So, something I find interesting is, was he still technically wearing the gloves when he rips his hands out, or no?
The glove?
Well, yeah, because you...
little Mickey Mouse gloves, you mean?
Yeah. I thought I saw, like, I could be imagining it, but I thought I saw, like, a glimpse of the cuff or something.
I know he was definitely wearing them for the piano, but I think, like, given, like, Jinsing's, like, apparent disregard for, like, Instro as a being, probably told him to drop it because they get in the way of whatever stuff jabs into his fingers.
Yeah, true.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, he had to get down to his
fingers. I will say we missed the part where he's just like, Roger Smith, I'm a tool.
Yeah.
Which is what we wish Roger Smith would be saying.
You're a tool, Roger Smith.
Well, I mean, it is in his name, I guess. Instro, instrument.
Yeah.
I like how it's both, like, instrumental, like, you know, like a music instrument, but also an actual tool.
Yeah.
But the instrument in it really just emphasizes the fact that he's supposed to play piano. Like, he was built with the intention of not destroying, but to just be a fun, happy piano robot.
But then why does he work the robot?
What?
He was clearly designed to be compatible with Constant.
Yeah, or maybe Constance was designed to be compatible with him.
I actually think that second thing. I feel like Instro was kind of the passion project, and then Constance is kind of this huge reaction that is built around, oh, I can have Instro plug into this and be its brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It could be that, like, Instro was, like, Amadeus. Like Instro talks about Amadeus. Like, he literally calls him his father. So, like, Amadeus probably built Instro as, like, a project on its own. Like, Instro was the point. And then, Jinsing probably was always a huge penguin bastard. So, like, he got, like, funding from, you know, who was it? Paradigm or whatever, to build this giant robot.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Or, like, to build the weapon, and then he later built the robot and all that stuff.
Well, so, the thing that gets me, though, is that the Megaduces are supposedly, like, from a before time.
Yeah. I don't know if that was a Megaduce, then.
I want to throw a theory out there.
Okay.
And this is I guess one of my bigger theories, and I got to get it out before it's bedtime for me in the podcast. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try and be concise. I think that just like when we saw Archetype, people are building Megaduce machines in the present day because they're encountering these corpses of Megaduce, and they're basically ripping off the design or building their own design based on what they learn. And I see that in Constance's design, and I think we see it kind of in Big Duo's design as well, where it seems like it wasn't constructed back in the day, or it was reconstructed based on something entirely different from back in the day.
Hmm. Hmm.
So that's where I sit on that.
Okay. That's a good point.
Yeah. It makes sense to react to things like that, because, like, there's this giant robot, and, like, at a minimum, that's not in control. That's not under our control, and it could kick the dome over. So, like, maybe if we could figure out a way to deal with that.
That's a good point. So after the fight, though, we get a really touching moment of Roger Smith waking up, but to nice music.
Mm-hmm.
And we somehow find out that Instro has his hands back.
Yeah, that's
yeah. How did Instro get in his house?
That's one of the Instro. Robots don't count.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So
Roger can't fuck a robot.
We don't know.
So, have you tried?
I mean, Roger can't fuck.
Listen, I have. No.
Okay. You have a different success rate, I think.
I'm not. Hard. Computers, they don't. The ports are.
Just try harder.
Square.
Okay. So right. Clearly got new hands, but they're not the right hands. So. There's a point made here where he's playing piano, yes, but he's also having to relearn how to play the piano because he remembers how to do it with his old hands. So he's gotta learn to make those adjustments now.
Yeah, the knowledge is in his head, and he's still got the soul, but the parts aren't as perfect. And I kind of like that. Is he going to ever be as good as he is, or is he going to have a new sound, or is he going to express himself even better, maybe?
The more positive take on the pianist breaking their hands thing.
I like that fun comic where it's like
where they have to open a vault.
Yeah, what's the second half of the password? It's Moonlight, yeah. Motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's one thing I wanted to call attention to because I completely forgot about it. I think most of us did. Dorothy's reaction to Instro going missing is like really emotional for her.
Oh
again.
Yeah.
She like. Ask Roger, like, really explicitly to go find him.
And she, like, stutters her words, too.
Yeah, she trips up in a way that only Dorothy can.
Yeah, I'm looking at these gifs that Vari has flooded our chat with, and this is a weird observation, but Big O doesn't look like anime.
Yeah, a lot of the character designs this week especially have been very cartoony. Very Saturday morning-ish, almost, sort of, kind of.
Fat Roger just looks like a cartoon man. He's got dot eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really... Great, great character. We need to see more of him.
Yeah.
Not doing anything in particular, I just want to see him on screen.
Yeah, he walks by every half hour.
So,
yeah.
In the winding down of the podcast, we have our two end slates, which we didn't talk about for episode 5. So, episode 5 ended with We Have Come to Terms, which is, that's a full conclusion. But number 6 ended with No Side, implying, you know, that not everybody got what they wanted out of this. And I'm just wondering, maybe those are kind of the basic meanings of them, but is there another take? Is there something to read into those other than kind of the nice little bow they put on things?
No.
Yeah.
Probably.
I do want to just bring up the fact that all these scientists are building replicas of their children as robots.
Yeah, it's happening a lot.
Or treating their robots as
And they clearly have, like, some memories of the kid, because, like, they show that he's like, I just want to play piano again, and it flashes back, but instead of seeing Instro, we see his son.
Yeah.
Which I thought was both very touching, but also really interesting, and it also makes sense as to why each of them refer to the people that created them as their fathers. More so.
I want to learn more about this robot creating culture, because it's, I mean, I love robots as a rule, but I almost want like one of those big Star Wars style books that just lets me deep dive.
Where it's like everything about Big O.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot to it. I think I said earlier, maybe it's just because I haven't actually seen that much of it. Yeah, it feels like it's setting up a lot of stuff, but, like, there's physically not enough time to explain it. Like as a short example, like, Instro got his arms back, right? So, like, the explanation is, we couldn't get him his old arm.
Yeah.
So he has new arm. And that's kind of it, right? It adds, like, a nice bow, but they're not like, oh, they don't even say, oh, we went to this guy. He just suddenly has new arm.
Yeah.
There's not even an explanation of, like, how he got out of the robot, which is...
Roger... Like, Roger threw...
Yeah.
He tore himself out.
Yeah. Negotiated it from the robot. Yeah, but it's... I remember seeing this all the way through a long time ago, and I don't remember much of the end, or any of it, actually. But... it just, there's just such like a big world it feels like they're trying to build, and 22 minutes is really not enough time for them to do all the things they want to do.
Yeah, that's why we watch 44 at a time.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, Dupont dies. He both gets crushed under a piece of machinery and blasts himself with his sonic wand. So he's gone.
Yeah.
He actually gets crushed under one of the limbs of Constance.
Yeah, it like, he's standing in front of, like, the thing, and he's gonna go shoot, like, Roger and everybody, and it just falls on him. Like in a, like a joke shot?
Yeah, it is kind of
a joke. Like a cartoon, like, oh no, sort of thing. And then, yeah, like, the thing turns towards him and, like, absolutely destroys him.
Sometimes getting tasted by gravity is not enough, and you've just got to send a message.
Sometimes you need to accidentally evaporate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
At least the hat survived.
I'm sure you'd be happy about that, Wheeler.
That's mean.
Wait, is it because it says I love pussy on the inside? Or...
Yeah.
No. I think one of the best parts, and Moxie mentioned it when we were first watching, is Intro's head.
Yeah, he does have the high top fade going on. It's a big brick, but it's a robot like version of that hairstyle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Solid half of his head is that piece hair thing. That's where he keeps all the piano.
Maybe it's a brain case for the son's brain.
It's where he keeps backup piano keys.
We don't ever see him from above. It could very well just be like a cup.
Well, I mean, everything's a cup if you think about it.
What was that philosophical question someone in here was posing? Is it a cup or is it a boat?
Is Instro a cup or a boat?
Because Instro brings the cool jams.
But he holds things also.
He holds
memories.
He's more than most of the characters in the show, I can say.
All right. Well.
I will say the last thing I want to mention is we got some more Alfred. or Norman, or whatever. We got more of him. We don't really see a lot of him, but when he shows up, he's always fun.
He sassed up Roger a little bit, and Roger was like, "Yo, you're saying words."
Just the last thing, want to read out the Roger's rules for these episodes. And for the last set episodes too, since only one. It's not my style to carry a gun.
Well, he didn't carry a gun. He just has it mounted to his car.
Just like Batman.
Big O is a gun. The gun carries Roger.
Is the gun a cup?
Holds bullets. But it's also a boat because it sends bullets somewhere.
Yeah.
The next one.
All right.
I value women and the elderly. It's one of my policies.
Loves especially gilfs. He's got a trucker hat that says gilf life.
I really want to see an edited version of Cast in the Name of God, Ye Not Gilfy.
And the last one, if someone lacks courtesy and sincerity, I ask them to leave.
Which fair.
That's fine, as far as Roger's rules go.
That's the only normal rule he's had.
Yeah.
Can I just mention, and this has more to do with someone saying trucker hat near me than the actual show.
Yeah.
There's a guy who walks into my work literally every single day wearing a hat that says free gold, ask me how. And I think Roger asked him how.
Have you?
He never specifies what kind of gold.
You know, I think the best thing is if everyone lost their memories, right? And everyone's, like, assuming Roger's rich, and they don't know what fool's gold is.
This has a bunch of pyrite. Like, weirdly iridescent block of metal to the bank and says, here, this is, I don't know how much they weigh, 50 kilograms of gold. Can I have money for this? And they're like, sure, I have no reason to disbelieve you.
I feel like Roger uses the typewriter keys in Big O to, like, type himself out a $1 billion bill and then just takes it to the bank and deposits it.
Big O is actually a counterfeiting machine.
It's a giant counterfeiting machine. When those pistons drop, it's just the minting plate.
Big O stands for Big Operation.
Do you think Big O is the only thing that remembers so that when it does print the bill, but it says, like, guilty on it? Like, Roger can't... Roger? Yeah. Roger can't use Big O for, like, a day after he does that.
Wait,
no. Cast in the Name of God, Ye Not Guilty? That's what says on the bill.
Yeah, instead of, like, E Pluribus Unum?
Instead of trusting God.
We've done it. We've found the episode title. It's Roger the Counterfeiter.
Yeah.
I hope everyone at home enjoys waiting until fucking now to find out why.
Yeah, I love it when podcast titles don't make any sense. It's perfect.
All right, well, it's 11 o'clock. I have an early start tomorrow, and the episode's actually going to go up a day late because I got to take time to edit it.
And sleep.
Thank you all for coming. Let's do our outros. Again, I have been Moxie at Robot Moxie on Twitter.
I'm Beth Loken. I am Moth Wizard over on Tumblr.
I'm Pastry, I'm Dad Dragon with 3 D's in the middle, on Twitter.
I'm Vari, and I'm at Valen on Twitter.
I'm Wheeler, and I'm Wheeler.
I'm Evie, and I'm at Evie Sinclair on Twitter.
Perfect.
This is a great...
It's going to be a great one. I'm going to have to do so much editing tomorrow.
Good luck. Godspeed.
Good podcast.